We are truly blessed of the Lord. The anointing that's here and that's manifesting in the internet locations is just mighty from God. We've been here now for 4 hours, more or less 4 hours. It's been pretty awesome. Last week's Sunday service was truly wonderful also. And we had a testimony coming back from the service. One of the persons who was here left the service and went to a dinner party, a dinner reception. And she walked in, and after a couple of minutes, somebody came over and said, "Wow, you're glowing." And she said, "Well, yes, I just came from this really wonderful, anointed church service." And the lady grabbed her hand and put it on herself and said, "Give me some of that." So she went to the dinner function, and towards the end, another woman came over and said, "Boy, you must have been spending a lot of time in the sun lately." She said, "Why is that?" "Because you're glowing." So, it's a lot cheaper than buying suntan lotion and standing in the sun. Isn't that so? Praise God. So we are here with a glow that changes people and changes things. Remember that the anointing in Peter was so strong that they lay the people out in a shadow. The shadow would cross over them and heal them. Well, we want to see that and more of that. People just getting healed just by being in our presence. We're not happy with people coming in sick and being healed between the door and the chair. That's wonderful. But we want to see limbs growing back. We want to see brand new eyes popping into heads. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're just getting rolling. We're just getting moving. So today, all these things happen because of the grace of God. But the grace of God is manifested in your life and my life through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. So if you want more of the anointing, you want more of the grace of God, and to have more of the grace of God, you need more of the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. And we learn primarily about God from His Word. Certainly, initially, that's true. We learn about God from His Word. So since we're all people of faith, since we all love the Lord, we've been sitting under the anointing, I'm going to ask them questions. First thing we're going to ask is a question about the title, today's title. And I would like everybody to participate except my ABC Healing School instructors, the current instructors. Current instructors cannot answer the questions. I don't want to embarrass them. Oh, thank you, Lord. God has a sense of humor. Oh. It's got to be to put up with me and you, right? Especially me. So today's title is called Five Verses Guaranteeing Success. Five Verses Guaranteeing Success. And I say five verses as opposed to five scriptures, because five scriptures more imply that you can pick them from any place over in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible. And I don't want you to be arbitrarily picking five verses from the Bible. You can do that, and you can find five scriptures guaranteeing success. What I want to ask you is, where in the Bible might you find five verses that guarantee success? That's the question. Question usually has an answer. And the answer is coming from somebody who's not one of the current instructors. So, okay, here's one brave person. Boldness. Faith and boldness releases the power of God in your life. Boldness. Wonderful. Sharon, go ahead. Joshua 1. That's a very good answer. That's a very good answer. Joshua 1, verse 8. So if you go from, you know, verse 4 up to 8, you get a really good answer. But it's all culminating in Joshua 1, verse 8, which is like 1. So it's a good answer, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Karen?
Mark 11, 24.
Five verses? No, five. I'm looking for five verses. Okay. Which are what? Five verses together. Centered on Mark 11, 24. What are the verses? Would you like an abacus? Okay, five verses. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26. Those are five verses, right? So, have you heard of those before? Yeah. Okay. Now, we've taught them separately before, once in a while, more in a healing school, graduate student sense, we've taught them once in a while, part them together. We're starting a series now, a series of three parts. And the series is going to be called Five Verses Guaranteeing Success, Part 1. Five Verses Guaranteeing Success, Part 2. Five Verses Guaranteeing Success, Part 3. Because I want you to know there are five verses. Oh, we all got that, five verses. So we're going to teach it three times. And the three times are going to be three different teachings. Today we're going to teach it in what parts of what most of you will have heard parts of it before. Maybe most of it. We're going to teach it as a grouping of five scriptures on faith. We're going to teach it from the perspective of the prayer of faith. So we'll teach you five verses, Mark 11, 22 through 26, from the perspective of the prayer of faith. Next time we teach it, which will either be next Friday or next Sunday, will be taught focusing on the prayer of agreement. The five verses will be taught as a composite set of scriptures focusing on the prayer of agreement, as an example of the prayer of agreement. And the third time we teach it, it will be taught as a prayer of authority. The five verses being taught as a prayer of authority, focusing on the creative power in your words. It's important for us as a church to move upwards from the prayer of faith to the prayer of authority. And we go from the prayer of faith to the prayer of authority by moving through the prayer of agreement. So as those of you who are graduates of healing school know, that those are three of the steps in prayer. Prayer of faith, prayer of agreement, prayer of authority. Those are the second. Well, actually, the way we have it in healing school, we have the first five levels of healing for prayer. We have the lowest level, first level, as the anointing with oil. Then the prayer of agreement, then the prayer of faith, then the prayer of authority. So you recognize the three prayers from that. So here we're going to start it off with the prayer of faith. So today we're going to focus on the five scriptures as a consolidated block of scriptures having to do with the prayer of faith. Okay? Now, it's important for the church to keep moving upwards. God does not cease to release his revelation knowledge and his glory upon this earth, which means his knowledge is ever increasing upon this earth. And so is his grace. As an individual, we cannot stand still. We cannot think we have arrived and that we don't need to learn any more about God. It's an ongoing process that from here on to eternity, we'll be drawing closer to God and learning more about God. Process started the day you were born again. So the way that you got your healing, say 10 years ago, almost surely wouldn't work for you today. Probably 5 years ago it wouldn't work. Maybe a year ago it wouldn't work. No matter what you're receiving from God, we need to continually be growing towards God. Well, if the individuals are growing, so should the church grow, because the church is a composite of the individuals. So churches should be growing towards God. If you go to a church and they've been teaching the same thing for the last 15, 20 years, you might want to consider speaking to the pastor, praying severely about it, or moving to a different church. Because the churches need to be growing, or they won't be prepared for God's plans in the future. As part of this growth, we have announced that coming in January of this next year, January 2015, that our healing school will be upgraded to a school of dominion. The name will be School of Dominion. The name Healing School, we've always said we're using healing as examples, just as an example for teaching. It has always been a stepping stone towards more dominion, towards preparing us for the ending days. But we are approaching the time where we are putting healing more or less aside, a lower level. We want to start focusing more on the dominion aspects of the healing school than the healing aspects. After all these years of healing, you all should either be healed or know how to handle the challenges. I feel we've done a pretty good job there. Not saying that we're free of challenges. The devil likes to challenge people. You know, the lady went to Brother Hagin and says, "Brother Hagin, pray the devil will quit attacking me." He says, "Okay, when do you want to go to heaven?" She says, "I don't want to die." He said, "That's the only way you're going to get the devil to quit attacking you is when you die." So she changed her mind. I guess she didn't want to go to heaven that soon. So there'll always be challenges, but we know how to handle them. And more, in Healing School Semester 1, basically what we teach is dominion over the physical world, things around you, in particular, healing being the example. Dominion through your words. As your words will change things around you. Your words will change the circumstances of life. In Semester 2, we are really teaching dominion over yourself and your body through the fruit of the Spirit. In Semester 3, we teach dominion over the spiritual world. Dominion over the spiritual world. That's why we're looking at these five scriptures which guarantee success progressively moving from the prayer of faith to the prayer of agreement to the prayer of authority. Now, in this sequence, moving from faith, which is one person, to agreement, which requires two, and then the authority, which requires one. In healing school, we go from anointing with all, which requires three, to agreement, which requires two people, to the prayer of faith, requires one, to authority, which also requires one. So you say, what's the difference? Why are we going from prayer of faith, which is one person, you can do it by yourself, to the prayer of agreement, which requires two? The reason is, the agreement I'm teaching here is not agreement with another person. It's an agreement with Jesus Christ. So if you've never heard that teaching, you don't want to miss it. Because with these five blocks of scripture that we'll teach next time, it shows you how when you're praying this, Jesus is there actively agreeing with you. But today we're going to focus on the prayer of faith. So the first of the five verses is Mark 11:22. How many people know what Mark 11:22 says? Raise your hand if you know. Wow. Not a lot of people know what Mark 11:22 says. By the end of the series, you will. So Mark 11:22 says in the King James, have faith in God. Have faith in God. A series of five scriptures starts with having faith in God. Faith, a good definition of faith is believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth is a good definition of faith. The actual Bible definition of faith in the King James is in Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You work hard all week and you get a paycheck. That paycheck is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? You're hoping that your hard work will come in it in hard cash. But all you have is a soft piece of paper. If it bounces, it will even be softer. Right? So you have great faith to believe that the company that hired you has money in the bank. And sometimes people's faith have been misguided. Checks bounce. So you go to the bank, you have faith to believe the bank is going to be open, and sometimes banks are closed. They have bank runs where you can't get to your money. Great faith. You have great faith in the financial system. Then you get your hard cash. You get your greenbacks. You get your dollar bills and your $10 bills and whatever. And you believe that this is the substance of things you home for. Do you want the dollar bill? No, it doesn't make a good sandwich. Right? What you want is what the dollar bills represent. The dollar bills is the substance of things that you hope for. You hope for a nice dinner. You hope for your rent paid, gas in your car. These are the things you hope for. But the substance of that is the dollar bill. But you've gone through many levels of faith before you get there. The faith of working, the faith of the check, the faith of the bank, the faith of the money. Now you've got the money and you're hoping it's not counterfeit. You see how much faith we live by? You and I cannot help living by faith because our God is our Father. God is our Father and our Father is a God of faith. So we cannot help living by faith. The issue is not, are you going to live by faith? The question is, in whom are you going to live by faith? Are you going to live by faith in a stranger who told you that he graduated from a medical college and whom you assume didn't get a D? See, nobody asked the doctors, how did you do medical college? And then this stranger you don't know, you have faith to believe he's going to take a knife and cut the person open, and then sew them back up, sometimes, you know, gluing them. We understand when they get wounds, they glue them. You wonder what kind of glue this is, you know? I mean, you come to me, I got super glue, it's really cheap, okay? You see what I mean by living by faith? We spend our days and our weeks and our years living by faith in the system of mammon, having faith in people that you never met before. And God is saying, have faith in me. Look at me and understand that I am the representative. I am the faith for the substance of things you hope for. I am the evidence of things not seen. For God and his word are one. And he said, my word represents this. And I and my word are one. So have faith in God. Hebrews 6:12. From the Amplified Bible, gives another definition of faith. Hebrews 6:12 from the Amplified. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ. In absolute trust and confidence. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality, your entire personality, leaning on God in Christ. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ. In absolute trust and confidence. So you have absolute trust and confidence in God. In what? In his power. That he can do anything. Absolute trust and confidence in God's power. In God's wisdom, when God says don't do it, don't do it. Because we have absolute trust in God's wisdom. And when God says do it, do it. Because we have trust in his wisdom. And his goodness, that he not lead you down the wrong path. That his plans for you are for good and not for evil. So faith is the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ. In absolute trust and confidence. In his power, wisdom, and goodness. That's a wonderful definition. Because it's very easy to test it. Are you leaning with your entire personality on God in his power? Or are you leaning to the power of your flesh? It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moves on your behalf when you have faith in God and you speak God's word. Having faith in God and speaking God's word releases the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life to destroy the yoke of bondage. Let's look at Isaiah 55 verse 1. Let's all turn in our Bibles to Isaiah 55 verse 1. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Let's read it in the King James first and then the Amplified. This is a wonderful scripture to learn, to practice, to believe for the ending days. That as times get harder on earth, this is a scripture to lean upon. In particular, when the day comes that the Antichrist says you can't buy nor sell unless you have the mark of the beast or the number of his name, this is a scripture to lean on. It says, Isaiah 55, verse 1 in the King James, "Ho, everyone that thirst, come ye to the waters. He that has no money, come ye, buy and eat." So he who has no money, come buy and eat. "Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now I understand that that is referring primarily to the Spirit of God, to the oil of the Holy Spirit, and to God's goodness. You come to God, you come for salvation, and God gives you all this thing. It doesn't cost any money. He gives you living waters to those who are thirsty. But it also means at a lower level that you can buy without money. And you can get what you need without money. And we have many, many examples of that. If you want to get an idea how that works, hang around my wife. Let's read the same scripture in the Amplified. "Wait and listen, everyone who's thirsty. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat." Come buy and eat without money. "Yes, come buy priceless spiritual wine and milk without money and without price. Simply for the self-surrender that accepts the blessing." It all comes through a self-surrender. You self-surrender to God, and you're surrendering yourself to God accepts all the blessings that the Holy Spirit has for you, and all the blessings that even in the natural you can buy without money. Self-surrender. So have faith in God. Have that self-surrender to lean your entire personality on God, to trust His power, His wisdom, His goodness. That when you believe His word in your heart and speak it with your mouth, no matter how amazing it sounds, if you believe His word in your heart and you speak it with your mouth, then it will come to pass. For your self-surrender, your faith, your leaning of your entire personality on Him is the substance of the things hoped for. It's the evidence of what's going to come to you. So now we go to Mark 11, 23. You should keep a marker there in Mark 11, 22. Through 26. We will keep coming back there. Mark 11, 23. From the King James. "For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Notice, in there, the word "say" is used three times. There is no word in there for prayer. We don't get to pray until Mark 11, 24. "For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." For whosoever, you and I are whosoever's. In fact, anybody is a whosoever. But anybody can use this scripture, unsaved or not unsaved. Because everybody is a whosoever. And it's a spiritual principle. This is not a prayer. This is a spiritual principle. The spiritual principle being, whatever you don't doubt in your heart, if you speak it, it comes to pass. That is a spiritual principle. And you see motivational speakers teaching this all the time. You see people who don't know anything about Jesus, and they say, "Well, we're going to go to Hawaii, and we're going to talk about it until all the things come together for the trip to Hawaii." All the time they do it. It's a spiritual principle. However, for a believer, for a person who has faith in God, is even more powerful. Have faith in God and believe God's word. And God's word says, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what's the mountain? Any challenge, any obstacle. Challenge of cancer. Challenge of financial lack. Any challenge that's coming to you, you can speak to it and get rid of it. It's between you and the challenge. For whosoever shall speak to this mountain, it's you on the mountain. There's nobody else. No, the mountain cannot be the mountain of a specific person, of a person. You can't say, well, the mountain is this person won't marry me, so I'm going to speak to it and say this person is going to marry me. You can't do that. That's moving into two people that requires a prayer of agreement. Person doesn't want to marry you. You can speak to it all day long. The person is not going to marry you. Does that make sense? So it's you on the mountain. But any mountain, you can speak to the mountain. The Lord used me to change a very large church around here. That time they weren't that large. And they had had a youth pastor who had just gotten chewed out by the church, by the pastor, because the youth were growing. Youth were not flocking to this church. And he just got chewed out. He went onto the park to pray because he's depressed. And God said, go down to the park. There's somebody to talk to. I went down to the park, met this man, ministered to him on speaking to mountains and changing circumstances. I spent maybe 2 hours with him. And the 2 hours showed him two major miracles. One was a vehicle came up and stalled right next to us. And the man who was in there couldn't get it started. And I went over and said, I can start this for you. He said, you can? I said, yes. But I said, we're talking about the Bible right now, about prayer. You want to join us for a while? And then when you have to go, I start the car. He said, okay. He joined us. So I taught both of them. And we taught in the Bible and taught Mark 11, 23 and a bunch of things. And while we were there teaching, this great huge animal came out of the bush. Looked like a South American panther. Huge and black. And we thought, this doesn't look like it belongs here, right? So we said, we'll call the animal control. And the guy said, but by the time they get here, it's going to be gone. I said, no, it won't be gone. I said, panther, in the name of Jesus Christ, when the animal control people get here, you'll be sitting right where you are right now. Because he's lying on the ground right outside the trees. And they were kind of startled. Anyway, so we have two prayers outstanding, right? Kept preaching. And then the other guy says, well, you know, I've got to go. I stayed as long as I can. Will you start my car? I said, sure. I went over. I put my hand on the engine. I said, in the name of Jesus, start. Turn the key. He turned the key. The car started. His mouth fell open, and he drove off. Hopefully, he closed his mouth after a while. So we got back. A little bit later, the youth pastor said, but the panther is walking into the trees. I said, yeah, but I didn't say he couldn't do that. I said, when the animal control people come, he must be lying there. So he's gone for like 10 minutes. And then we see the animal control people coming down the street. And the panther comes back out and lies back down exactly where he was. Went back and laid back down exactly where he was. That youth pastor, he got booster shot. He went back and his youth went on fire. They're one of the largest youth groups in the San Gabriel Valley now. Okay? At least the last I heard. Could very well be the largest. He went on fire. Because he learned how to speak to the mountain. If you speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart. As you speak to the mountain, especially in the beginning, the devil will speak to your mind. And thoughts will flood your mind. This isn't going to work. You're going to embarrass yourself. What happens if the car doesn't start? What happens if the Black Panther, I was going to say Pink Panther, but that's the wrong story. What happens if the Black Panther doesn't come back? See, you're praying for somebody and you're thinking, well, I want to pray for this person's healing, but I pray for them and after God heals them, I'll tell them I prayed for them. No, you got to do it in advance. You got to speak to the mountain in advance. Although if praying for somebody, you would not use that scripture. Well, yes, you could. You could speak to the disease in the person's body. You could curse the cancer. If you're cursing the cancer, that's a prayer of faith. prayer of authority and you're cursing the cancer. It will come to pass if you don't doubt in your heart. Now, in your heart, you know the Bible is the Word of God. So in your heart, you do not doubt the Bible is the Word of God. In your heart, you do not doubt that the Bible says that. Therefore, in your heart, you don't doubt that when you say it, it shall come to pass. In your mind, there may be doubt. Demons might be hitting your mind with thoughts of fear, unbelief, doubt. Makes no difference. You ignore that. You focus on what's in your heart. The first time I prayed for somebody, after I got saved, I met this friend I hadn't seen in years. I told her I was saved. I was not saved. And she had been a Christian, a denominational Christian. And in the course of the conversation, it came up that she had been in pain for the last 5 years and the doctors couldn't get the pain to go away. So I said, no problem. Bible says, if I believe in Jesus and I have hands, I can lay them on you and God will heal you. So I said, here are my hands. You want to do it? She said, okay. So I put my hands on her and I said, you know, I quoted the scripture. I believe in Jesus. I lay my hands on the sick. And I say, recover in Jesus' name. Took about 20 seconds, 30 seconds. That entire time, my mind was bombarded with all kinds of fears, thoughts. I mean, everything. But it worked. It worked. So I knew it would work even though my mind didn't believe it. But I didn't know why. Took me another year or two to learn why. It came right out of these, my favorite scriptures. I've been reading this for years and hadn't seen it. If you don't doubt in your heart, it will come to pass. So it says it three times. Three times it says, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that the things you say shall come to pass, you should have what you say. Three times the word says there. Now, Proverbs 18:21 tells you that death and life are in the power of your tongue. You say things with your tongue. And the things you say bring death or life to what you're talking to or about what you're talking. No, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's the rest of the verse. When you love God's word and when you speak, whatever you speak, that fruit is going to come back to you. You speak fruit of goodness, good fruit comes back. You speak fruit of evil, evil comes back. Right? Okay, so let's look at Isaiah 57 verse 19. Or I can just read it to you. Isaiah 57, verse 19. In verse 15 of Isaiah 57, God is talking about a person who has a contrite and humble spirit. He talks about him through 16, 17, 18. Finally comes to verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. So when you speak God's word, when you understand that there's life in the power of your tongue, and you speak life against the challenge, you tell the challenge to go, you tell the mountain to move, and you speak life, and you speak what you want, you eat of the fruit of your lips, but God will give you the fruit when you're saying what God wants you to say. So God gives you the fruit of your lip. So you say to the mountain, and the mountain will move, and life will come to replace the challenge because God has given you the fruit, and you'll eat of the fruit of your lips that God has provided. Now, of course, the reverse is true. If you speak death, then the devil will be happy to bring the evil that you've spoken into existence. Matthew 12:37. Well, let's turn to this one. Matthew 12:37. Let's pick it up in verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So thank God we are no longer of evil. We're born again, We're in the family of God. God's goodness, God's word is in our heart. So we have a choice. We can speak good, or we can revert to the old man and speak evil. God is saying, speak good. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. We flood our hearts with the abundance of God's word. We flood our hearts with the engrafted word of God by making it our own. We make God's word our own when we speak it and act on it. We fill our heart with the engrafted word that we have believed in our heart and spoken with our mouth, which is faith. You have faith in God's word. You believe it. You speak it. The process of exercising faith in God's word, that process of putting faith into God's word, is the process of believing in your heart and speaking it. As you believe in your heart and speak it, you lean with your entire personality on God's word because you believe it has been done. So you lean with your personality on God's word. You trust him, and that makes it your own. It becomes engrafted in your heart. So for you and me, we speak out of the engrafted word of our heart, the word of God. And out of the abundance of the engrafted word in our heart that we've spoken and acted upon, we speak good things. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. We speak God's word through our lips, and God gives us the fruit of our lips. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. Every idle word. No, that's pretty serious. Every idle word. What's an idle word? Well, it's certainly any word that's not a word of God is an idle word. If you're speaking an evil word, it's an idle word. If you're gossiping, it's an idle word. You're going to give account of it. Why? Because you're speaking it into existence. You are speaking out of the evil in your heart, and the devil is happy to provide the fruit of evil. Verse 37. For by your words you shall be justified. By your word you shall be justified. Justified means just as if you never sinned. Your sin has been paid for. You can live just as if you never sinned. You live just as if you never sinned by the words of your mouth. When you say what God says about you, then God brings you the fruit of what you're saying, which is the fruit of what he has said about you. So you live as if you've never sinned. See, until Adam sinned, he had no problems. Jesus, no problem could overcome him. He says, no man can kill me. No man can take my life. Until he laid it down. You speak God's word, and the challenge will come, but they'll bounce off you. Because the challenges are the wages of sins. And these wages of sin may be coming from your ancestors or people who've been connected to you somehow. Or they may be your sins. It's not important because all the wages have been paid for. But you live with the goodness of the wages having been paid for by the words of your mouth. So when you speak to the mountain and you tell it to go and don't doubt in your heart, the mountain must go because you're speaking God's word and you're living as if you have no sin, and God gives you the fruit of your lips. Everybody see that? Okay. So you're justified by the words of your mouth. That's why the verse says three times, say to the mountain, don't doubt what you say, you have what you say. But say the engrafted word is in your heart. Say what God says to get the fruit of the lips from God. Which brings us to Mark 11:24. So Mark 11:22 says, trust God in everything. Lean on him. And then when you trust him and you trust the Bible, you speak from the goodness in your heart, from the faith in your heart. You speak to mountains and they must move. Mark 11:24. Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you. And as a wise man said, when you see the word therefore, you want to see what it's there for. Okay? When you see the word therefore, you want to see what it's there for. Therefore is connecting this sentence with the previous. What is the previous? The previous is saying, whatever you say shall come to pass. So Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. He's taking Mark 11:23. The principle of speaking to the mountain. The spiritual law of speaking and not doubting in your heart. He's taking that and showing you how it works here. Whatever you desire. Whatever you desire. When you pray. Now when it says whatever you desire. What have we learned so far? If you want the fruit from God, then whatever you desire better be something God has promised. Because God is going to give you the fruit of your lips. Therefore, whatever you desire, if it's what God has promised you, God will bring it. If you desire something that's not what God has promised, the fruit of the lips will probably still come, but it's going to come from the devil. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death comes from the devil. It's the fruit of the lips the devil brings you. The fruit of goodness that God's bringing you is life. Remember, every sickness, disease, infirmity, accident, calamity are incipient deaths. The steps in the pathway towards death and destruction. So, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. And you should have them. So, listen carefully. I'm going to ask the question. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you should have them. In the King James, it ends in the word them. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Question is, it ends in the word them. What does them refer to? What are the them that you can receive? Again, instructors can't answer. What are the them you can receive? Desires of your heart. Okay. Anybody else with a different answer? Things you pray for. Okay. So one person says, desires of your heart. One person says, things you pray for. Anybody else? That's true. It does that through the things you desire. Okay. Sharon? God's promises. Okay. God's promises. Okay. I learned this question about 30 years ago from Pastor Fred Price. I don't know how his church is doing now, but at that time it was a great church. And great church of faith. And he had been teaching in faith with the church for a long time. And he ended up teaching in faith for a long time. He asked him the question. I have the cassette tape someplace in my collection. He asked him a question. In this huge church, what does them refer to? And nobody got it right. Not one person got it right. He spent a long time getting answers. Nobody got the answer correct. Over the years, I've asked a lot of people. And nobody that I've asked outside of ABC has ever gotten it right. And so the question then is, if they don't know what them refers to, clearly and explicitly know what it is, why should they be surprised if their prayers are not being answered? Isn't that just common sense? See, the answers here all give part of the answer. Part of the answer. But let's take them, desire. Let's replace the word them with desire. You shall have your desires. People have desires all over, and they don't all get their desires answered. Let's take prayer. People pray all the time. Just reading about this girl, Colorado someplace, she converted to Islam. A student in a high school converted to Islam. And she was spending, the students started complaining because she was spending 3 times a day, she'd go to the ladies' room, the girls' room, and be kneeling on the floor praying 3 times a day. So they complained, so they gave her an office where she could go pray. People pray all the time. And as we know, most people don't get their prayers answered. I would that Christians had that kind of zeal towards prayer. I've never gone into a restroom to pray on the floor in my life. With God's grace, I never will have to. On the other hand, if he tells me to do it, I will do it. That's a lot of zeal. So people pray all the time, and they don't get their prayers answered. No, God's promises are true for everybody, and most strong believers believe God's promises. They even know God's promises are the foundation for their prayer. Strong, really strong believers. But that doesn't mean they get their prayers answered. And what you need to really fully comprehend here, this is not playing semantics and word games. When it says them, you should have them. You should have them when them meets three conditions. And the three conditions are told right in advance. You must have three conditions. The three conditions are, one is you must desire it. That's the first condition. Then you must pray for it. But the most important condition is the third condition. You must believe you receive at the point in time when you pray. You must believe that. The prayer of faith, all of faith is based on believing you receive when you pray. Believing it when you receive, when you pray. Most Christians, even strong Christians, believe they receive when they see the manifestation. That is a formula that will either cancel your prayer most of the time, or if your prayer eventually gets answered, it's typically going to be a very long time. You must believe you receive when you pray. What things over you desire when you pray, believe you receive, present tense. Then you'll have it. No, let's take the people who answered here today. It's probably not that you don't know what I'm saying. You probably know what I'm saying. But I wanted to raise a sharp, so when you hear what I want is this, you know immediately that's three things I must do. Actually, in ABC, we teach four things. What's the fourth thing we teach? Again, back to the non-instructors. What's the fourth thing? I hear little mutters here and there, but nobody is bold enough to stick up their hand. Okay, I see a hand back there. Christina? Yes. Faith action plan. She said affirmation. Yes, that's the answer. The general answer is a faith action plan. Affirmation is the one we do mostly. Correct. Four things. Because we're saying, if you believe you receive, then you'll act as if you believe you receive. And one of the first thing you can do is thank God. Thank you, Lord. I've got my answer. That's a step as a part of your faith action plan. It's also the first level of affirmation. You're thanking God. Thank you, Lord. I have the answer to my prayer. I mean, if I came over and gave you $50 right now, I'm sure you said thank you very much because you believe you receive it. Well, when we believe we receive something greater than $50, like healing from cancer, how much more excited we should be? The time to be excited is when you pray and believe you receive. That's the time to be excited, not when you see the manifestation. When you see the manifestation, it should be all had. Oh, that, I got that 2 years ago. Yeah, it's true, I'm just receiving the manifestation, but I believe I received it by faith 2 years ago. But we are still geared, all of us are still geared towards walking by sight, which is, we believe we receive when we see it. No, it's understandable. I mean, if your body's in great pain, you say, Lord, I believe I receive by faith, and the pain is still there, it's not a good, you don't feel like jumping up and celebrating, because the pain is still there. But you know what? That's actually a great thing to do. Jump up down and praise God, the pain will go faster. Right? So, for those who answered, I appreciate your boldness. Boldness is a major step towards walking in faith. And it's hard to do an interactive class without bold people. Okay? So thank you very much for answering. And you all got a part of the answer. You all gave good answers, but I want it to be razor sharp. You receive them when them meets three conditions. You desire them, you pray for them, and most of all, you believe you receive. And go on to say, and because you believe you receive, you will act like it. You will speak like it to the best of your ability. You will execute a faith action plan. Now, if you hook up 24 with 23, it makes it even more clear. We're saying you must believe you receive when you pray. Well, what did 23 tell us? 23 says you'll have what you say. You just prayed for something. And when you prayed for it, you opened your mouth and you spoke. And we know the rules of prayer are you pray to your Father in heaven, you pray in the name of Jesus, and you ask once. Why do you only ask once? Because you believe you receive. If you believe you receive when you ask once, why would you ever ask again? If I have your pen and you ask me back for your pen and I give you your pen and you have it in your pocket, would you come back and say, Pastor, will you give me back my pen? It doesn't make sense. So when we pray once, we believe God has answered it. No, you pray the prayer of affirmations, declaring that you've got it, and taking the sword of the Spirit and sticking the devil to get the devil to release the manifestation of what you have already received by faith. So you pray the prayer of faith once, you ask once, you believe you receive once, but then you take the prayer of affirmation and you declare, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's not to God. That's to the demons and devil that are trying to make you sick. That's to the demons and devil that is trying to steal your job. In the name of Jesus, I have my job. God has already given me a job. In the name of Jesus, God has given me that job. In the name of Jesus, God has given me that scholarship, that grant. You stick the devil. But as far as God is concerned, you ask just once. Because 11:24 says, believe you receive. Where are you supposed to believe you receive? In your heart. Faith is in the heart. You believe in your heart, you've received. True? Well, what did 23 say? If you don't doubt in your heart, whatever you say will come to pass. You've just spoken the prayer. You don't doubt in your heart, it will come to pass. But if you pray it again, you're saying, I doubt in my heart that I did receive it. If you doubt in your heart, you won't get it. 23 tells you, if you doubt in your heart, you won't get it. 24 says, when you pray, believe you receive. Present tense. Believe you receive in your heart. But if you doubt in your heart, you won't get it. How do you know whether or not you're doubting in your heart? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of the abundance of your heart is coming a whole bunch of affirmations. So you're speaking affirmations because you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and you believe the Bible cannot fail, and because you follow the rules of the Bible, you're not thanking God that it's done, and out of the abundance of your heart, affirmations are coming. You're not doubting in your heart. But if you pray again, then you've doubted in your heart. If you doubt in your heart, you won't have what you say. Is this making sense, everybody? So, 11:23. You have what you say when you don't doubt in your heart. Because you trust God. You believe in God and you trusted Him. 24 says, if you pray and you believe you receive and don't doubt in your heart, then you have what you say. Because 11:23 is true. 11:23, speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart. 24, therefore, when you speak to the mountain and don't doubt in your heart, you can have what you pray for if you believe you receive. The key is you must believe you receive. Everybody got that? That's all wonderful and good. The three prayers so far really has nothing to do with the devil. You trust God, you speak to the mountain, you believe you receive. It's all up to you. But you, and I know the devil wants to stop it. So how does the devil stop it? Let us say he stops it, and if we take all the myriad of ways that he can stop it, let's put them in two categories. One category is unforgiveness. And the other category is everything else. And you can take everything else and put it in a title called Walking by Sight. The devil will try to stop it in one or two ways. To block it with unforgiveness, or to get you to walk by sight. How does he get you to walk by sight? Very simple. You pray, you believe you receive, and you don't see a change. And the devil says, see, it didn't work. God failed again. And your choice is to believe it didn't work, which is walking by sight, or to say, devil, God did it when I asked. You're a liar. Get out of here. If you give in to the voice of the devil, he will show you reasons and circumstances to tell you it did not work. But your faith in God, your faith of believing that you received when you prayed, is the substance of the thing you're hoping for. If you continue to believe that you received when you prayed, and continue to affirm that you have, that process will bring the substance, the reality of what you want. The substance of believing that you received and declaring it through your affirmations or your faith action plan. All that is the substance of the things you hope for. It is your dollar bill. It's your pink slip for your car. It's everything that tells you you own it. And you hang on to that until the reality shows up by sight. The reality by faith of your owning it is your continuing to believe in your heart and speaking with your mouth and acting as best as you can. In the meantime, the devil tried to stop you with people telling you it won't work, with experts telling you it's impossible, with your body telling you you're still in pain, with people telling you, doctors telling you, if you don't do X, something far greater than X could happen. All these are things of sight. And all the things of sight will eventually give up to the prayer of faith if you continue to believe God and speak it. Pastor Karen fell a couple weeks ago, and when she fell, it was a really bad fall. She smashed her face, and she thought both knees were smashed. She ran her fingers along it, having experienced that many years ago in a car accident. She knew what shredded bone felt like in her knees. And that's what she felt, in both knees. She couldn't move, she couldn't get up. And she resolved that she's going to stand in faith, regardless of the circumstances, until she got a manifestation. And she laid on the floor praying. And then she spent the next, I think it's 8 to 10 hours of prayer. She got her manifestation, the first breakthrough in manifestation around 3 in the morning. And by the next day, she was able to come to service. She was kind of leaning on things, but she came. Within a day or two, was totally healed. Total manifestation. Has she gone to the doctor? I believe she'd be in the hospital with both legs up in cast right now. Bill went through one not long ago, similar. I'm sure there are others of you who've gone through them. We have so many miracles here, we don't have time to go through them every service. If more new people came to the 6 o'clock service, we'd tell you more miracles there. But most of the people who come are regulars, so they don't need to hear them. How many people have had a miracle from God in the last 2 weeks? Let's raise your hand in the last 2 weeks. Okay, that's almost 100%. That's almost 100%. And some of them have been very significant miracles over the last couple of weeks. So, Mark 11:22 is between you and God. Mark 11:23 is between you and God. Mark 11:24 is between you and God. Now we get to 25 and 26. This is where the devil gets involved. And the example I want to use here is Pastor Peter. Pastor Peter, at one point in his early career, he had bought Prayer Mountain and he owed $350,000 on it. And they were in the process of foreclosing. He had no money. He was hiding out from the creditors up on the Prayer Mountain property and eating the wild mustard plants that grow wild up there. And he'd be hiding out. And so he had put up a huge cross on the property. And so he's there praying, and he's needing money for food to pay off the mortgage, everything. God told him to buy the place. He knew God told him to buy the place. He put everything he had into it. He lost his church, everything because of this property. And now here he is, and they're about to foreclose, and he's hiding from creditors. And he's probably getting pretty angry. So he went and he knelt down before the cross and he prayed. And he prayed, he said, the Bible says, mountain move. Well, the reason why he owed so much money on the property was there's a mountain on the property. He didn't want the mountain, but they wouldn't sell him the property without the mountain. So because of the mountain, it cost him a lot of money. He never liked the mountain. So he's there and he's really ticked off. He can't get mad at God. So he got mad at the mountain. He says, mountain, you're an ugly mountain. The Bible says, if I tell you to move, you move. Mountain, you get out of here and you jump in the sea. Go! And he gets up and he walked off. Now, he was probably guilty of the sins of impatience, anger, frustration, losing his joy, losing his peace, losing his patience. Should we go on? But he didn't know all that. Today I still think he doesn't know all that. Okay? It's not important. So he walks off. Comes back the next day. The mountain is still there. Boy, did he get furious. Mountain, I told you, jump in the sea. Comes back the next day. Not even a shake, not even a wiggle. Nothing. Mountain is still there. He thought. Says, okay. The Bob is 2,000 years old. Maybe it's a bit weaker after 2,000 years. The ocean is pretty far. Says, mountain, I give you a break. You go jump into the Mojave Desert. That's just a hop, skip, and a jump. Any mountain can do that. Right? You go jump in the Mojave Desert. Right? And he turned to walk away. Came back the next day. The mountain is still there. He says, God, I give up. Your word is too weak. It's too old. It doesn't work anymore. The mountain is still here. He can't even jump to a small place like the Mojave. I quit. He gets up to walk away to quit. Great man of God quitting. And God spoke to him. And God says to him in eloquent Korean wisdom. I don't know what language God spoke. I'm sure it was Korean. But he said to him in this Eastern wisdom, son, why are you eating my word like a fish? Huh? Son, why are you eating my word like a fish? God, I have no idea what you're talking about. So God says, you know how people eat fish? They cut off the head, they cut off the tail, they eat the middle. Right? He says, that's what you're doing with my word. He says, you cut off Mark 11:22. You've cut off Mark 11:25 and 26. You're not trusting me. You're not even having patience with me. And you're ignoring 25 and 26. And you're eating 23 and 24. So 25 and 26, you need to forgive everybody. Make a really long story short. He didn't want to do it, okay? A really long story. Eventually, he forgave them all, including the family that wrecked his church, that took all his money. He forgave them. It was hard. Next morning at 6 a.m., there's a honking at the gate. He goes out at 6 a.m., thinks he's a creditor, but creditors don't come at 6 a.m. He goes outside, and the guy says to him, make a long story short, we're building a highway through the Mojave Desert. And the only place around that has the right fill for it is that mountain. We want to buy a mountain and move it to the Mojave. And gave him $550,000. Paid him $550,000 to move the mountain to the Mojave Desert. That shows you the power of unforgiveness to block your prayers. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against any, forgive. That your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you. In other words, he's saying, if you forgive everybody, God can forgive you. Right? Now, what that tells you, if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. That's pretty obvious. Forgive everybody so God can forgive you. But even though it's obvious, he goes on with 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, who is in heaven, forgive you your sins. So God is saying, have faith in me. Lean on me with your whole personality and trust me. If you do that, then you do what I say, which is love everybody and forgive them. Now, if you're leaning on me with your entire personality and you're trusting me, then when you speak to a mountain and don't doubt in your heart, whatever it is, it will move. Therefore, when you pray, what things of you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it. In your heart, right then, and keep speaking to the mountain, and it will come to pass. Speak to the mountain with affirmations. Because you trust God, we should be forgiving anyway. But he repeats it. And forgive everybody, because if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. Faith works by love. The faith of speaking to the mountain works by love. The faith of believing you receive works by love. Unforgiveness is the opposite of love. Unforgiveness will block all your prayers because unforgiveness wipes out the superstructure of love, and the whole building collapses. You can't walk in faith if you're not walking in love, because love is the foundation. And unforgiveness destroys the foundation. Faith works by love. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Right. Yeah. I was reminded that Pastor Fred Price Church is still active. I saw an article in the LA Times about a year ago, and they had they published a pictorial showing all the murders in the city, murders and violent crime in the city over a wide area of LA County. And there was one area that's about 1 mile radius, which is no murders and no violent crimes in South Central, okay? No murder in South Central, one area with no murders, no crime, but a 1 mile radius. And they couldn't figure it out. So I saw the picture and I looked at it. I didn't read the article. I saw the picture and I zoomed right in there and said, wow, something is happening in that area. Well, right in the center of that area is Pastor Fred Price's church. Okay? So praise God.